It's Daily Scramble Live with Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty. Today's guest.
We've got a reggae rap legend in studio, Modest Yahoo.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty.
Yes, and today, of course, is Veterans Day. We will let you know how our local community is commemorating.
Yeah, and he's calling in. He won't be in studio, but very cool to have reggae rap legend, Orthodox Jewish alternative artist in studio, Modest Yahoo.
All right, and we'll also highlight another great local non-profit during Caroline's Cause Corner a little later on. It's all coming up on your Daily Scramble Live. Good morning.
On KX93.5, your Daily Scramble News now.
Let's start in local news this morning here in Laguna Beach. Today is Veterans Day, of course, and 11 a.m. sharp, the Laguna Beach American Legion will conduct their Veterans Day ceremony to recognize all veterans for their service protecting our country. This ceremony will take place at Legion Hall, where the keynote speaker will be Senator John Morlatch of California's 37th District. Mayor Bob Whalen will represent the city of Laguna, and the Laguna Beach Police Department will be providing a color guard. In addition, the senior California color guard will be concluding the program with a grand finale performance. The program's open to all residents. The American Legion hopes that children and their families will come to meet and honor all of our veterans. Again, that's this morning at the American Legion Post 222. The grounds are at 384 Legion Street, and patriotic music begins at 10:30. Shall we look outside the Laguna bubble this morning as well?
We should, because today is the one day of the year where you'll hear no political controversy from me.
Even though the next story is exactly what that's about.
Well, that's because it's in the news, but yeah, thanks for your service, old vets.
I've got a story for you, and we'll talk about it in the next break, Veterans Day related. All right, Donald Trump's plan to deport 11 million undocumented immigrants from the U.S.
Well done, Donald. Very nice. What do you think about that, Esther?
Esther goes good.
You're like, good, yeah, whatever. She's just cleaning up there.
All right.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Esther. You're not going to go anywhere. Don't worry. He's not going to win.
anyway, Esther's documented. I should just say that. And so am I.
Everyone's documented.
Yeah, we've all got our papers here. Thank you.
Actually, Esther's getting her driver's license in just a few weeks.
Really?
She had to wait like 15 years to get it.
Oh, my God. No, I know the feeling. I waited a year. 18 months I waited. I took the bus everywhere.
She's waited decades.
Oh, my God.
She's almost got it, though. She's driving around town, so everybody look out.
Is that a bit dangerous, Esther? You know, a lady of your age is just starting out driving
well,
now.
Well, she's driven before. She's
driven before?
In Mexico.
In Mexico.
But she's just now getting her license here.
Drivers here more polite, do you think? No? The drivers, are they more polite? Are they better drivers here than in Mexico? Or it's better
here. Drivers.
Yeah.
But Esther's not a better driver here. She's far
better,
worse.
Still a terrible driver.
All right. Anyway, Donald Trump wants to deport everybody. And all of his rivals savaged that argument. The debate hosted by Fox Business began by talking about raising the minimum wage, which several candidates opposed. But immigration was indeed the biggest confrontation. Trump said a wall should be built at the U.S.-Mexico border, and all migrants living illegally in the U.S. must be deported. This was met with disdain by John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, who said that Trump's plan was not an adult argument. I think that's a great way of putting it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how could anybody in their right mind think that that's a way to deal with it?
I remember John Kasich from like the Clinton years. He was the guy that it was last minute. He managed to he helped Bill Clinton ban assault weapons federally. I remember that guy. That's about the only thing I remember about him. But yeah, that's so he's obviously relatively sane guy.
Right.
Compared to Trump.
Yeah, well,
which, you know,
that's not saying a lot.
Let's just build a wall around Trump.
Trump also slammed the Trans-Pacific Partnership and China's currency manipulation, but seemingly did not realize that China was not party to the trade deal.
Yeah, I heard that.
So
completely. What an idiot.
Marco Rubio did well. Rand Paul did really well. And Ben Carson escaped unscathed despite some questions about exaggerating parts of his life
story.
Well,
that's the problem, isn't it, with somebody like Trump. I keep wanting to say Clinton. Somebody like Trump being in line, you could wind up with a lunatic like Ben Carson as president just by default.
Yeah, it's not apples to apples.
It's crazy. Right.
Well, hopefully none of them will win.
Yeah, really.
All right. The leader of Colombia's largest armed rebel group, the FARC, has said he has ordered the organization to stop buying guns and ammunition. Probably pronounced fuck.
No, it's pronounced FARC, which, you know, how can you take him seriously?
His name is Rodrigo Londono Echeverry, known as Timochenko.
Yeah.
None of this sounds Spanish to me. Said the decision showed the FARC's commitment to scaling down the conflict with the Colombian army. The aim is for rebels to give up their armed struggle and join the legal political process.
Go FARC!
Both sides of they are expecting to sign an agreement in March.
Well, that'll be the end of them. He's FARC'd himself there.
FARC that. Wait,
the music stopped.
Good timing.
We have to change chairs at this point.
Yeah, well, I think we should. I just got to press the button again. You got to behind the scenes look.
I know.
Into radio.
Fourth wall just dropped.
Just dropped.
Yeah.
FARC. Finally this morning, e-commerce giant Alibaba has broken its own record for sales on China's Singles Day, the world's biggest online shopping event. The firm said sales surpassed the record of 9.3 billion made last year in just over half the time.
In a day.
Yeah, well.
$9 billion in a day.
They made 1 billion within 8 minutes of midnight.
Oh my God.
And Singles Day is known as Double 11. It's held on the 11th of November. It's a major annual event for Chinese retailers. In comparison, our Cyber Monday, which is the biggest online shopping day in the U.S., hit 1.35 billion last year, about a tenth of what they make.
Wow, we're the biggest economy in the world. Wow.
Well, they just got more people.
They got
right?
more people. Yeah. Still, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
9 billion, counting with a B. Oof.
What are they buying?
I don't know, man. What are they buying? Everything's rubbish from China.
And it's so cheap. It must be cheap, right?
I don't know, man.
I don't know either. Well, that's your news this morning.
Did you
like it?
Great. No, I enjoyed talking about Trump and probably wound up a few people.
I want to share with you in just a few minutes. It is Veterans Day. I have one veteran in my family, and that's my grandfather.
Yeah.
And he just completed his race for Oklahoma State Senator. And figured today would be a great day to talk about that.
He's completed his race.
I'll tell you.
Oh, good.
I'll share with you coming up.
All right.
This is Daily Scramble Live on KX93.5. Here's a Norse band called Death by Unga Bunga.
Daily Scramble Live.
So today is Veterans Day. And I've got one member of my family that I know of that was an active member of a war. Right. And that's my grandfather, Mark Williams.
Member of a war. Fully paid up.
Yeah, he paid up.
Yeah.
Signed
subscribed.
Up. Yeah, you got the weekly magazines.
Yeah.
Member of the war. And now he was a Navy gunman in the Vietnam War.
Wow.
And he didn't see too much action because, you know, basically they drove around all the time. But he was on a big battle cruiser and he had one of those big machine guns. In the gunner's area of the ship, and he's got so many stories of, you know, going to China and Japan and Indonesia and wherever they went.
The lack of technical knowledge is just, it's astounding. We're terrible, and I can't correct you.
What do you know?
You're not a member of a thing. You're not, if you're on a ship, you're not driving around.
He was a gunner's
and
mate.
And he was in the gunner's section of the ship.
He was the gunner's mate. There was a whole section where there were machine guns, and he was in there.
Okay, good. Who's the gunner's mate? All right, mate.
Pa, if you're listening, I'm sorry for butchering your war affiliation. Anyway, last year, Pa gave me this awesome jacket that was his naval jacket. And they were stationed in Long Beach in America that he used to wear while he was patrolling the docks in Long Beach when it was cold at night. And I meant to wear it today, but I forgot. So I'm going to wear it later. Anyway, my grandfather, Navy veteran, ran for Oklahoma State Senate, which we were just talking about, because we've got a state senator, a California state senator, coming to our Veterans Day thing here today.
Right.
And he's been a principal his whole life. He's an elementary school principal.
So he was running for the state senate. See, this is what I don't... As a Brit, I'm a little confused. So it's the state senate. So it's the state house that makes laws rather than... He's not running as like
it's
a senator.
It's a local senate. Yeah, it's the state senate rather than the national senate that has a couple representatives from each state. It's a district. So, like, for example, California District 37 is coming today to Legion
John
Hall.
John Moore, like this guy. Yeah.
And he was running for Oklahoma State Senate 34, which is near Owosso, where they live, about 96,000 people. So he's never been in politics in his life. He's a war veteran. He's a church-going Oklahoman. He is a school principal who's retired, and now he drives a school bus in his spare time.
He sounds like a lovely,
he's just
lovely
an
man.
Upstanding citizen.
Yeah, good guy.
So what happened in Oklahoma is there was this scandal, and this senator, state senator, was embezzling money. So he got kicked out of the office.
Mm.
All right? So now there's an open seat. So my grandfather decides, you know what? I can make a difference. I'm going to run.
Right.
Very American.
Yep.
Well, unfortunately, two other very qualified people also signed up to run for state senator. And the vote was yesterday, and he did lose.
Oh.
But I talked to him, and he spent 2 months campaigning with my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And they literally went house to house for people that would commonly vote in these special elections. Hand them pamphlets, talk to them. They called everybody.
Yeah.
There was a little debate, which is kind of cute, between the people running for the Republican primary of the state senator in the 34th district of Owosso. So small. But they made it a big deal, and it was important to everybody. And he said he and my grandmother grew closer through campaigning.
How sweet. It's a sweet story.
It is a sweet story. Yeah. And he said he probably decided that he's no longer going to drive a school bus, because he gave it up the last 2 months for when he was doing this.
Yeah.
And he really enjoyed the time off from not driving the school bus. So if anything were to be gained from running, he said, maybe it just why wasn't supposed to drive a school bus anymore.
This has been good for his marriage. How old is he?
He's not that old. He's 68.
Oh, that's not so old. Yeah. No, I'm thinking this is like some doddering old guy.
No. He's,
okay,
yeah,
not
he's
so
68
old.
Or so.
Wow. Well, good for him. And, you know, they say that. Everything I read about says, you know, people think they can't make a difference in the world because unless you're the president, you're, you know, useless, or a senator or whatever, you got some money. But local politics, very important, and people forget that. And you can make big differences in your community by writing letters and by just being there and being part of stuff. Anybody who just goes to our city council meetings will tell you that decisions turn on a dime, and often it's just local concerned citizens that make the difference at that level.
Well, all of our council people are people with real jobs who I don't think had been in politics before being on city council.
No, and you have to say to yourself, what was it that made them want to do that?
Right.
It's hard work, and it doesn't pay very much. I don't reckon they get
hardly anything. It's something like $2,000 a year.
Yeah, it's a small amount.
Yeah.
So either they are eager to be of service, which would be great, depending on their point of view, obviously. You've got to make sure that your voice is heard, or they're egomaniacs. So you just got, you know, I'm not accusing any
it's probably a combination of the two. If I were to run, it's because I would A, want to help change things about this town, and B, would like to be in the limelight of being in the city. There's something true about that.
They probably should stop you and I from doing anything like that, because we have a sort of desire to be celebrities, clearly. Look what we're doing, you know. But it is an important thing, and great when you get somebody who really wants to listen to everybody's views, but can make a decision. That's the thing. It's all very well being, you know, everybody says, oh, we should have balanced politics, and I want to go across the borders and talk to people who are generally against me and blah, blah, blah. Well, you need someone who's decisive too.
Yeah. Well, I totally would have voted for him if I could, obviously. I live in Owosso.
Totally.
But I love the educator going into politics, not jaded by anything he's never been in it before, and the other guys had been. I think there's something very admirable about that, but it's hard to prove that you'd be any good, right?
Yeah, I immediately think somebody's been a teacher and then a school principal, I immediately feel like I respect them, which is an odd thing because I hated my teachers at school. I can't explain it.
Well, you've
because I've got
around.
Old. Yeah,
he was an art. He's a member of Mensa.
Wow, smart guy.
He's a really smart dude.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my Veterans Day tale.
Great. Well, how interesting, and good luck to him and anybody that wants to stick their neck out and do that kind of thing. I respect. Good for them.
Coming up, I want to play a little game. Maybe a chance for you to win some concert tickets. Remember, fake or real Pitchfork album review?
Fake or... Oh, yes, that was a great game.
We're going to bring that game back.
Oh, it's good fun, yeah.
Today. So listen up. You can win some stuff from us if you enjoy making fun of indie rock as much as we do. It's a love-hate relationship. Here's Guster on KX93.5.
Sing along in the morning to Daily Scramble Live on KX93.5. I'm Jason Fetty, and that guy over there is Tyler Russell.
Hello.
Morning.
So, yeah, coming up, we're going to give you a chance to win tickets to the Winter Concert Classic here in Laguna Beach with Kenny Loggins and the Shadowboxers and David Allen Baker. This is a rare opportunity to win tickets. We're not giving them away very often, and they are selling quickly, which means you could win seats better than ones you can buy right now because we have some held for these types of promotions.
I know, and after last year, if you weren't at last year's big gig that we put on at
Beach Boys.
The Beach Boys, yeah. I was getting there, Ty. I was getting there. No, I was getting there.
Beach Boys.
Yeah. That it was such fun, and it was so great. It was such a big community event. Of course, 3,000 people.
Right.
Really quite amazing just to see everybody there and such fun. Everybody's in such good mood. And excited about it this year. But more nervous last year.
You were more nervous last year.
Yeah, because it was the first time.
Yeah, we were setting a precedent for something big in this town, and that's using Irvine Bowl, where Pageant of the Masters is, for a concert for the first time in 10 years.
Well put.
And now that it went well, I agree. It's a little less nerve-wracking because we know that it can be done.
Plus, we've got partners. We've partnered up with the Montage.
Indeed.
Who are obviously going to put on a wonderful spread, and it's going to be really fun. So, dead excited about that.
So, we're going to give you tickets. Yeah. You can win tickets to see Kenny Loggins here in town. I mean, I can't believe that's even saying we're saying that. Kenny Loggins is playing in Laguna Beach at our local amphitheater. So, call us at 949-715-5936, and we'll give you a chance to win in a Daily Scramble way this morning.
Yeah, in a Daily Scramble way.
Let's do this.
Here's the sorbet of the day.
Okay, I'll give you a choice. Long or short? When I say long, obviously, it's not going to be very long. Long or short? Because I can't choose between these two.
Short.
Short. All right. This is a short one, but it's poignant, I think, and very good piece. It's just a reminder of where you are and who you are. Okay, take a little breath. Because this is the sorbet of the day. This is the chance to restart your brain. It's a cerebral cleanser. Okay, you ready? Yeah, we've got some. Those things are just a distraction. I'm sorry. I don't know how people meditate with that thing going on. Okay, here we go. He who dies with the most toys is dead.
That was the sorbet of the day.
I'm never sure how long to wait before we still see if it's going.
I should do a little sign, shouldn't I? I should wave at you. He who... Gone. What was that?
I was playing a song.
Yeah, he's dead. He who dies with the most toys is dead. And by the way, even if you don't smoke, you're still going to die.
That one's good too.
Yeah.
Okay, call us 715-5936. That's 715-KXFM. To win tickets to see Kenny Loggins, your chances now. All right, Daily Scramble Live on KX93.5 now welcomes a caller on the air. Brittany, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Thanks. How are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Very nice. Nice to hear your voice, Brittany. I'm quite Brittany myself, actually, because I'm from Britain.
Wow.
Yeah. Get it?
I like that.
All right, You've got a chance to win tickets this morning to see Kenny Loggins at the Irvine Bowl here in Laguna Beach.
Woo!
And here's how it's going to go. We're going to read you either a real or fake album review from Pitchfork. And it's either an actual snippet from a Pitchfork album review written in all of its pretentious glory, or it's one that we completely made up. And you have to identify, and you'll actually play against Jason Fetty, Brittany on Brittany. And one of you will win. So one of you seeing Kenny Loggins.
Right. I think I may be able to get in anyway. I may have. I've got a guy.
Oh, you got a guy?
Yeah.
All right.
But we'll see. Let's see what happens, because Pitchfork, you know, very, as you say, very pretentious indie nonsense.
Are you ready, Brittany, to play?
I'm so ready.
Here we go. This is Real or Fake Album Review. Here's your first snippet. This album wasn't just a dubstep or trap album. Hang on. Of course, part of its genius was the way that it spun so many sounds and ideas into a bright, high-energy electro-funk whose central contradiction, brittle in sound, peelant in structure, turned out to be visionary. Brittany, is that a real or fake album review?
That's real.
Jason?
Yeah, sadly, I think it may be real.
It's definitely real. It's Pitchfork, Rusty, Even If You Don't Believe.
who remembers that record? But it had a central contradiction. Ugh. Horrible, isn't it? Horrible.
All right, here's the next one. The songs are graced with small details, curious skeets of beats, buried samples that only appear once, toxically cute 90s pop guitar. The songs build in unexpected ways, but will explode and gratify in the way that we hope pop always will. Jason, is that real or fake?
I think it's real. And I love the way that they're, or I hate and also love, the way they're kind of snooty about 90s guitar riffs. Like, what went before was so pathetic and, you know, self-conscious, and we're so cool and whatever.
Brittany, what do you think, real or fake?
I think it's fake.
That one is real.
Yeah.
It's another Pitchfork album review from a new album by Grimes called Art Angels.
Dang it.
Yeah, no, she, our, but you know what? Our assistant, Steph, who writes the fake ones, is brilliant. So it's not like, it's not so easy.
I wrote them today.
Did you write them?
Yeah,
you did them, okay. All right, so you can take credit. That's all right.
All right, but I can't claim. You haven't had a fake one yet. So, all right, moving on. Real or fake album review. Sink into this sophomore effort, which explores the connection between man and beast, and the way in which humanity's pliable existence is fractured by nature's tenure.
No. You wrote that. You wrote that.
You think that's fake?
You totally wrote that. How can any, was anybody writing the word sophomore anymore? In, God, can't be. Please tell me it's fake.
You think it's fake?
What do you think, Brittany?
Brittany?
I'm going to go with fake, too.
It is fake.
Oh, thank goodness.
It is fake.
Because, honestly, we just have to do suicide pact if that's real.
It was fake. All right, finally, one more. Nothing on the album really feels as immediate, but its ability to grab you by the throat, which each chorus and the trio's playful use of texture, the descending wash of glassy scents, makes it an easy, undemanding, and ultimately uninspiring listen.
Oh.
Brittany, is that real or fake?
I have no idea. I am going to go with fake.
She says fake. Jason?
Okay, I'll say, just to be controversial, I'll say real, but they didn't like it, did they?
You thought it was, but did your hunch say fake? Thought it was fake at first?
I'm like Brittany, I honestly have no idea, so I'm just going to go with real.
The thing is, I can't even try to be that pretentious in my writing.
Yeah.
I can't even come across, it's real, it's Pitchfork, they hate everything, and they use the biggest words to tell you so.
And then they put on a festival every year in Chicago, and they put on these completely obscure bands that nobody cares about.
That they probably gave a very negative review to in their magazine.
Yeah.
Hey, Brittany, guess what?
What?
You lost, but you still win tickets to Kenny Loggins at Irvine Bowl. Congratulations.
Well done. We'll see you there, Brittany.
Yay!
The show's on December 13th. People can get tickets online at kx935.com, or you can win them like Brittany did this morning. Thank you for calling into our radio program.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Have a wonderful day.
Daily Scramble, Daily Scramble Life. Daily Scramble, Daily Scramble Life.
Bring your daughters and also your wives.
You could write a whole thing for it.
Could just keep going.
Big news story this morning.
Really?
Big news story.
Okay.
And by the way, Caroline's Cause Corner is coming up shortly. Mm-hmm. But this is important.
All right.
Okay?
Is that why Caroline's here in the studio
right
now?
Yeah, and that's why she has to wait. She has to wait because this is very important.
Right.
It's been revealed why Californians put the before naming interstates, right? We say the 5,
the 405.
The 405, the 101.
Yeah.
No one else in the world does that.
And I heard a guy say, very recently I heard him say, because he was giving me directions to something, and he said, take that 5 freeway, that 5.
Well, that's incorrect.
I've never heard that
before. No one does
before.
That.
Yeah.
In Arizona, we say I-10. Take I-10. Take I-5. Oh, right? Okay. And in the Bay Area, they say take 101. Take 8. But only in Southern California do we say take the 5, the 10, the thing. Caroline's shaking her head, but I'm reading an official article.
Okay.
So this article is printed, right.
It's been printed, so it must be true, yeah.
All right, anyway.
Okay,
the reason why we say it is because their freeways used to not have numbers. They used to have names. They used to be called the Cahuenga Pass Freeway.
Right.
Or the San Bernardino Freeway.
Yeah, or the John Smith Centennial Tribute Freeway or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
So there were route numbers affixed to these freeways, but clarity dictated that Southern Californians continued to use the descriptive names even after they became numbers.
Right.
For whatever reason, we were the only people to do that.
And the north-south freeways, let me get this right, are odd numbers, and the east-west freeways are even numbers.
That seems accurate.
Yep.
Yeah. So how then did that morph into the 405, the 110, the 101, whatever?
Well, because it was the mushroom omelet freeway, and then it became the 5 freeway.
Right. So,
which was actually what it was called before.
In 1964, the state simplified its highway numbering system. Before that, things had all kinds of different names. Yeah. The 84 turned into the 88, and then it turned into the whatever. They simplified it in 1964, and new construction added new freeways, and then it was easier to learn the numbers rather than the names after 1964.
Yeah.
So we just kept the introduction of the word the.
Simpler times, Tyler, simpler times.
Right?
But now you can rent a freeway. No, you can sponsor
a freeway.
Yep. That's the word there. And then that becomes that bit of freeway. We could do that. We could have a KX90. Take the 93.5 to Laguna. That'd be good if people started saying that.
You work on that.
Mm.
Go call the mayor. All right. Anyway, Caroline's Cause Corner really is coming up here shortly. I just thought that was really breaking news.
It is. It's big stuff, Ty.
All right.
Supporting local Laguna Beach nonprofits. Welcome to Caroline's Cause Corner. KX93.5.
Yeah, Caroline Bruder joins us in studio once a week, highlighting another great local cause or nonprofit. And this is a veteran of the show, one that we supported last year, and are excited that it's happening again in town.
That's right. Thanks, Tyler. We have Faye Chapman in the studio today. She's going to be talking about how November here in Laguna Beach is Hunger and Homelessness Awareness Month. Welcome, Faye. Great to see you again.
Good morning, Caroline. Thank you for having me again.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's got really cold out here in Laguna in the 40s and made me think, with El Nino coming, we really need to highlight and showcase what we can do for the homeless here in Laguna and all the people that are, struggling to make ends meet and don't have a roof over their heads. So why don't you dive in and tell us all about this month? And there's a whole series of events that are going on, and we'll kind of highlight a few of them.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, about 8 years ago, the Housing and Human Services Committee, we started Hunger and Homelessness Awareness Month.
Yeah. Say that 20 times.
Exactly. I have a hard time saying it once. But anyway, we started that about 8 years ago, and it's grown each year. So this year we're doing a rain gear drive. So we're going to ask folks to bring umbrellas, gloves, ponchos, scarves, and they can drop those off at Laguna Exchange. And that's going to be at 995 South Coast Highway.
And that's gently used and new, right?
Yes,
okay,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we have our food drive, which we teamed up with Waste Management. And Waste Management collects food from residents. So on your regular trash day, you can set out a bag of food and just mark food on the bag. And your driver will pick that up, and they take that out to the Laguna Food Pantry.
Are there bins around town as well that you can put canned food in and things like that?
Absolutely. There's a church, Boys and Girls Club, the real estate offices, almost anywhere in town you can drop off your canned food. And they need cereals, pasta, spaghetti sauce, and things like that.
Right.
Easy to use.
We did sorting with the Cub Scouts, and that's exactly what people need to know is boxed things, spaghetti, like things you can make a meal with that you just described are the best bet to put into, not just cans. So, things that are in boxes and sauces and things like that.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you go in your cupboards and you look in the back and say, oh, what haven't I eaten lately? Like those capers, people really don't need the capers.
That's right.
They need spaghetti and tuna and pasta.
Right. Things to make a meal with. Yes. The other thing is when we did the sorting is that we looked at expiration dates, and don't go in the back of your cupboard and give something that is like 10 years old, because we actually did find lots of donations that were very old and expired, and we had to toss them. So be mindful when you are donating to the canned food drive or the food drive.
Exactly. And then also the Girl Scouts, we've teamed up with them this year, and they're doing a sock drive and filled with toiletries, or sock and toiletry drive. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty cool. I'm really happy that the Girl Scouts are on board with us this year. You can drop those items off at the Girl Scouts and also at the Boys and Girls Club. And then there's different boxes around town. Also with the food drive boxes, you'll find the sock and toiletry drive boxes.
Okay. And the Girl Scout location is where? I think it's in North Laguna. They have their little house, but I'm not sure. So why don't you look it up online if you want to drop off at Girl Scouts?
Yeah, that's a good idea. I don't remember the address either. I just kind of know how to find a way around and get there. And then another really cool thing that we've started, we've been doing for a long time, it's the World Hunger Bowl. And this year we've done something really amazing. It's just an online auction, because this way people from around the world can bid on the bowls that we have from around the world. We have a bowl from Turkey. We have one from Peru, Saudi Arabia. So we have bowls from really cool places all around the world. And one of the really cool things that happened this year is a friend of mine who lives in Australia went to his local community center, which helps the Aborigine women in their community. And they held a contest of about 50 women who are struggling and getting their lives together. And they go to the community center, and they did ceramic bowls. And they had a contest. So from the contest, they shipped the 3 winning bowls here for me to use as an auction item to help our Laguna homeless.
That's fantastic.
Every time I tell that story and I just think about it, I get chills.
Right.
It's just such a great story that somebody in Australia cares about our homeless here in Laguna.
Well, and they're helping to generate hope and, for their people that are struggling too. So it's a real global event, even though we're, here in Little Laguna Beach.
Yeah. My friend Jeff Warren lives there, and he got together with his local community and got together and did this work. So it's really cool. It's really amazing.
That's wonderful.
And then another really fun thing that happened this year is Maggie Spencer, who's a local artist. She has an open studio. I think they have that about once a month. And she had about 20 participants who come to her studio that weekend for a weekend, and they created little patches. And so she took their little fused glass patches and turned those into 4 amazing bowls. They're so cute and so adorable. I just love them. So they're online too.
There's always so many beautiful pieces of art that are, bowls. I have a few of them. I love them. And because it's online, people that are outside of Laguna Beach, you can, this is a great way for you to help to contribute to helping the local homeless and homeless and people here in Laguna Beach. There's also a Thanksgiving potluck on November 26th at the Laguna Beach Neighborhood Congregational Church. And, also a panel discussion on November 14th at the City Council Chambers if you want to learn more about how you can get involved and what you can do. Wrapping up, Faye, is there anything else you want to add?
Yes. Go to worldhungerbowl.org to bid on your bull and to find out everything that's going on for the month of November, you can go to LagunaHungryAndHomeless.org or WorldHungerBull.org.
Yes, wonderful. And for those of you who are outside of Laguna Beach or in Laguna Beach and become a member of KX93.5 this week, a portion of your membership will go directly to the Hunger and Homelessness Awareness Month and or the Hunger Bowl, which is Faye's baby, and she's done an amazing job with that event, and thanks for that. So thank you, Faye, for telling us all about November in Laguna. And if you have any other charity, nonprofit, social cause that I should be interviewing, let me know. Send me a note on Facebook on Caroline's Cause Corner, and I'd be happy to check it out. Until next time, this is Caroline Bruder for Caroline's Cause Corner. Make it a giving day.
This was Caroline's Cause Corner. Enter your business at kx935.com/causecorner. Back to generational alt-rock. KX935, Laguna's only FM.
So it's Veterans Day today.
It is indeed.
TR? Can I call you TR?
Sure, JF.
So you were talking earlier on about your grandfather?
My grandfather, who was a Navy gunner's mate.
A decorated military career.
Sure.
Whereas this time of year, Veterans Day, when it's, 11-11, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, I always think of my dad, because my dad had a, shall we say, military career.
Okay.
Undecorated. My dad was born 1938. So he wasn't old enough to fight in the Second World War, but after the Second World War, they continued conscription in Britain for some year. I think it was till 55, actually.
How come?
Well, because they were still concerned that the rise of the Nazis could rise again.
Sure. And
they needed people to do, jobs around the place that they didn't have people to do. Cleaning the streets or working at... My dad worked in customs. He joined the RAF. He joined the Royal Air Force.
Okay.
But he didn't fly a plane. He couldn't reach the pedals. He was only a little guy. So he went in the RAF, and he just wanted to get through his service to do 2 or 3 years. I forget exactly now. But they made him do customs. He used to stand at the customs desk at some port in the south of England. People coming in from France. In those days, there was no channel tunnel or train. You had to get on a ferry.
Okay.
So the people would come in, and military officers would come in, and they would want to smuggle in contraband that they'd bought in France, cigarettes, booze, nothing too serious, jewellery, stuff you would have to pay tax on. And he would facilitate the smuggling for these military officers.
Wait, he helped them?
He helped them bring it in, yeah.
Okay.
And he'd take a little cut for himself, I've no doubt.
Pablo Escobar.
No, my dad. No, well, not quite. He used to just, and he'd give a little nod and they'd go, instead of it going through the x-ray machine, he'd take it in his pocket and it would go around and he'd put it and he'd give it back to them at the other side.
Like in Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah. But the best story that he ever told me about his military career was he was still in the RAF, 1956 it must have been, Suez Crisis.
Okay.
So the Egyptians nationalize the Suez Canal, they close it, and the French go crazy because they're shipping stuff from and to the Far East using the Suez Canal. So the French say, we're going out there to sort out, I think it was Nasser was the head of Egypt. And then it all blew up into a sort of Middle Eastern conflict. The Israelis get involved, the Americans, obviously. And they're shipping people out there to fight this this war. It was ostensibly a war, the Suez Crisis. So my dad gets his papers. You're going out to the Suez. And he didn't want to go. Right? I don't want to go. So he went to the psychologist or the counsellor in his unit, and he said, listen, I'm nervous about this. Why, Freddie? Well, because, if I go out to Egypt, I think I might just desert. I might go, because I want to be with my people. I might want to go to Israel. I might just run away and just be with my people in Israel, And the psychologist said, what do you want, Freddie? And he said, I don't want to go. They're using real. This is the line. I don't want to go. They're using real guns out there. And the guy said, all right, forget it. And he didn't have to go. And he didn't have to go.
Wow.
He didn't have to go because he was a champion ping pong player. My dad.
No.
Yep.
No.
Yep. He could beat the army. And in those days, a lot of rivalry between the armed forces, the RAF and the Navy and the British Army, and they would play ping pong. Big deal. So if you could beat the Army, you could do whatever you wanted, and that's how he got away with it.
Are you a good ping pong player?
No.
Because, you know, I'm excellent.
Are you?
I'm an excellent ping ponger.
I'm not surprised.
I was in a league in college. I played in a sanctioned tournaments.
Right. I don't have the eye for it. I can't. It's too quick for me.
I want to play ping pong with your late father.
Yeah.
I wish that was possible.
Hmm. We could probably. No, we can't. No, that it's a thing. You know, my dad was a great. And he was a boxer, too. So weird to think of him that way. Because I just think of him as this sort of little kind of wrinkly old man, like a prune
yeah.
in jeans.
Yeah. Well, that's great. You know what? My grandfather, he said in the gunner ship, I don't know how much he really did, but yours was very clear about not wanting to be, in the front of anything.
No, he's conscripted, so, you know, that's the thing about a people's army, isn't it? You know, most of them don't want to do it.
Yeah. My dad went to college just so he wouldn't have to fight in Vietnam.
That's funny.
Yeah. He wasn't going to go to college. He was a failing student in high school. He barely graduated high school.
Yeah.
Straight D student. And when the draft came around, he was like, I better go to school.
It's a way out.
He went to University of Arizona.
It's either that or shoot yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
And you don't know who wants to do that.
Right. So he went to college and ended up getting a master's degree because it lasted so long.
In those days, he could probably just said he was gay.
Maybe. And seen.
Daily Scramble Live.
All right. It's KX93.5. I'm Jason Fedde. And that is Tyler Russell. Good morning, Tyler Russell. Oh, the phone's going. Wait a minute. I need to introduce our next guest. So let me just say this. Do you know that song, you know, the Adam Sandler song, where he lists people that are Jewish for Hanukkah?
Yeah.
Right. You may not know this, but I am actually Jewish. Just kidding. I know you know that. Okay. So here's somebody on the line right now who's definitely Jewish. I'm very excited to talk to him. Matty Shai was on the phone. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, thanks.
It's really lovely of you to call in. I'm actually a little giddy with excitement because I've always wanted to have a chat with you. And I'm delighted that you're out touring. You're coming down our way tomorrow night to the Coach House. Say that again, Ty?
13th. Yeah.
To play at the Coach House on Friday, that's right. Yeah, so how's it feel to be touring? You enjoying it?
It feels good, yeah. It feels good to be touring. It's what I do. Been doing it for 12 years now, 200 days a year. So it's pretty comfortable with it at this point.
Well, you're actually really well known for live albums. That first album, Live at Stubbs, sort of just wonderful, seminal record that really reached a lot of people. And this new record is another live record back at Stubbs, is that right?
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, it's Live at Stubbs, Volume 3. It's like a 10-year anniversary. And I just wanted to I basically put together for this tour like a band of guys that I've been playing with for years in different bands. I've had like a few different bands over the years. And I kind of put together like what I consider to be like an all-star band of guys I've played with from different schools that come from different musical backgrounds and such. Because my music is so kind of all over the place. So it's all about finding the right people that can kind of create, that can do all these different types of genres, different styles, genres, mixes. So basically we went out, we recorded Live at Stubbs, is like the first thing, and then booked the tour. And now we're out here, yeah, just developing this sound and paying tribute to some of the old songs. A lot of the songs we're doing throw back to even the very first versions, which were on Shake Off the Dust, which was like the roots reggae record I put out before Live at Stubbs, before I signed with a major. So it's a mixture of that and then a lot of the newer songs off of Kata, which lend themselves to kind of what I'm doing now better than some of the other stuff. And that's the gist of it.
Well, the music is brilliant, but sometimes I feel like the fact of your... when you first came out, you were this Hasidic guy with the hat and the peyote and the whole beard and the whole thing. And that was a... some people thought it was shtick. Obviously, it was your spiritual journey, so I wouldn't want to refer to it as that, but it was kind of... The music was almost in some ways clouded by that. Do you ever feel that that's... So people are talking too much about your personal spiritual journey than the music itself?
Well, there's no real point in like stressing out what people are talking about. As long as they're talking about you in some form, and it's, you know, that's a good thing. but, you know, I really do feel... I feel blessed to be making this music, and you know, my journey and my life journey and all of that, that's at the end of the day what it's all about. It all comes back down to this music and what I'm, you know, creating every night for people. So, yeah.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you said that because I wanted to ask you about it. It's fascinating to me, just as a Jewish guy who's got links and friends in Chabad, your original movement within the Jewish community. And it's fascinating to me. You, in the wider world, you're not very controversial, just a Jewish guy making music. But in the Jewish world, it's quite controversial that you started out bearded and obviously having all the symbols of Jewish piousness. And then more recently, you've shaved your beard, taken off the yarmulke. You look, actually, I must say, you look 10 years younger. And so how has that affected you? It must be difficult because it's controversial.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people that go to concerts for a lot of different reasons, and there's a lot of different types of fans, and there's a certain percentage of people that actually are lovers of music and actually are touched by music. And those are the people that I really make the music for. Those are the people I try to focus in on at the concerts when I see them out there. And I remind myself that there are people that are affected by this music, and that's important. And there's, when you're a musician or an artist or whatever, and you put yourself out there, you put yourself obviously out there for everybody, you know, to have their opinions about you and what you do. And like, certainly, like you said, I came out with a very, you know, strong identity. And then at some point felt I needed to literally shave the identity off and kind of jump back into the question mark of life. And so, yeah, there are people there. There are always people with opinions, and always people that are, have all kinds of things. But I know I'm just trying to focus on people that really, really are real fans of the music. You know, not just fans of the guy with the beard or whatever.
Well, I just want to say that I think it's incredibly brave of you, because I don't think people realize how, you know, controversial it can be to, certainly in that community, to shave your beard and to move on. I mean, you were really their sort of great white hope in some ways. People were delighted. Finally, we've got a guy that's going to, we're going to walk down the street and we're not going to be seen as so weird because we've got a famous guy out there who looks like us. And then now, of course, you know.
Well, I don't think anyone expected that to happen. I think it was like a nice treat when it happened for people, for a lot of people. They're like, oh, cool, like there's a Jewish guy out there who's cool or whatever, and making it cool. But at the end of the day, like, you know, like I say, like I've seen, you know, the people that are still around from that community are the people that, like, were really connected to the music and really were able to understand my journey and my spiritual, you know, quest through the music. That's what the music was always about. So those people respect me for the honest journey that I'm on, whether or not I've made all the right decisions or not, you know. But the people, then there are the people that don't, you know, that never really connected to the music again, you know, and so those people have all kinds of opinions, and that you have to try to shield that that kind of energy away.
Again, we're on the phone. I want to remind you, with Modest Yahoo, he's got a show at the Coach House in a couple days, this Friday on the 13th. A guy who's been making rap, reggae, alternative rock music for over a decade now, that I remember listening to when I was in high school, and now you're still so relevant, man, with new albums, new live albums coming out. I'm really moved by some of your more recent videos. I know it's been about a year since the newest album came out, since Akeda came out, but some of these videos, like for Surrender, for example, and others, are particularly moving and deep. And, you know, what's the making of process for you in these? How do you kind of conceptualize them?
Well, with this last record, Akeda, it was like extremely emotional and intense record for me. And I really feel like it was a major step for me in terms of like the music that I make and that I've been able to make and create. And, you know, this record dealt with like my divorce, with my, you know, leaving the religion, with the backlash from, like, you know, we were talking about before with fans and how that really felt. And I went through a lot during that record. So, yeah, I mean, I wanted to make videos that were intense and, you know, describing that. So I chose on that record. You know, we had a, you know, there was a song that could have been more of a hit. There's certainly songs on that record that could have been more video friendly or whatever, but I really chose the four songs on that record that really I thought were the heart of the record. And that was Hard Way, Broken Car, Surrender, and Reservoir. And used the same director, and we made four videos together. And some of them were more his ideas, and some of them were more based on mine. Like, so we always kind of met in the middle and did like a combination of the two of our ideas. But he's great. He's got Joe Baufman in Indiana, and I just met him, I think, online, and we tried something out and loved it. So
that's really interesting that you weren't concerned about picking the hits and choosing videos that would represent a hit on the album. Are you done with that? Are you done with trying to be a hit maker? Were you ever that at all? I mean, is it just about kind of expressing your emotions in song these days?
Yeah, I mean, thank God I made a couple hits, because those are the songs like that are really still connecting, you know, hard with people. One Day and then Sunshine off Spark Seekers, a couple of those. And that's definitely in my capability, and I feel like I can perform and write those songs and do them honestly, you know, without feeling like I'm sacrificing my artistic integrity, you know. So I do feel that there's a wonderful art to making a pop song, and then I'll continue to make pop songs for sure and make uplifting, feel good music for people as well. But you know, this record was more about, well, you know, when everything isn't all sunshiny and one day, you know what I mean? When you're going through the real ups and downs of life. And, yeah. And you know, I deal with that on an everyday, you know, like now, like, you know, we played last night and a girl yelled out, like sitting in the front row, like, oh, just play what we're here for. Give us what we want. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry, what do you want? And she's like, One Day. And I'm like, do you know any other songs? And she's like looking at her friends like she really didn't. And then her best friend, like, was like, play King Without a Crown. And we had just played it, like, two songs before, you know?
Oh, God.
And I'm like,
terrible.
You know, and I've got a lot of that. You know, there's a, like I said, there's sure. A lot of people I chose for a lot of different reasons. Some boyfriend just slapped some girl or whatever it is, you know. There are someone who heard One Day or whatever. But, you know, thank God, like, I got four kids. They got to pay the bills. So, you know,
sure.
They can come to the shows.
All right, of course.
They can buy tickets. And it's good, and it's great, and then there are people there that are, like I said, like really connected on a deeper level with more of the music. But hey,
well, the music, the new record, Arcadia, is very self-reflective, and it really does warrant, you know, more than one listen, because your lyric writing is really poetic. It always has been, but it just seems so, like you've really learned your craft over the last few years. And it's funny you mentioned self-sacrifice, and you mentioned leaving the religion, and yet the record is called Akaida, which is, people may not know, is about the near sacrifice of Isaac by Abraham. And so how do you sort of make that bridge, or are you sort of just trying to find your way through it, the bridge between what you know about Judaism and what you are trying to experience out in the world now?
Well, I guess, you know, I think that for me, the basic thing for me is there was a time in my life when I unraveled, you know, when things kind of came apart for me when I was pretty young. And I prayed to God. I don't have any proof that there was a God, but I believed in God. And I prayed to God, and I did that through my music, you know, in music, you know. And that's kind of like what I try to get back to on this last record and all this, and kind of get away from all the other, you know, this thing or that thing or whatever. At a certain point, I felt like it was my life, and this is my life, and I can do what I want with it. And I didn't feel that for a while when I was, you know, super religious. I felt like I had to do things a certain way. And there is a tremendous freedom that came with that, and a renewal. And also, there are a lot of pitfalls and, you know, a lot of things that came up as well on the other side of that. So, I jumped back into the world, and for better or for worse. And I think it was what I needed to do. And it's where I am now. And I still, like you said, you know, the record is called Akaida, and it's a deep thing. It's, you know, it's real. It's a real thing. Yeah. It's,
Well, I personally want to thank you because, you know, you're authentic and a human being, and for living it in public, that takes some balls, frankly. And so I just think it'd be interesting to watch you, and I'm really excited to see you at the Coach House on Friday, the 13th.
And we will have some tickets to give away to that show. We'll do some via text and also on Twitter. So anybody listening can watch our Twitter, twitter.com/KX935, and we will give away some tickets to see Modest Yahoo on Friday.
I can't help it. I've got to ask one more question, Tom.
Go ahead.
Because it just seems to me, as you were talking, you know, you've gotten back to a more personal connection with the divine, which is really what Judaism's all about. You've kind of come full circle.
Yeah, there's a lot of different circles I'm in and out of and completing. But yeah, I mean, yeah, that's the gist of it, I think, yeah. The personal relationship. I mean, Judaism is about more than that, though. It's really about community, and it's about, there's a lot, there's so much in it, you know. It could be about a lot of things, so. But yeah, that personal connection with God is really what's gotten me through a lot in my life, so I feel like that stays, you know. Hopefully it does.
Brilliant. Well, thanks so much. I personally could learn from you all day, so thanks very much for talking to us, Matt. It's brilliant to hear from you. And Friday at the Coach House.
Great. Right. And we'll play that song Surrender that we were talking about as one of the emotional kind of heartfelt videos you released from Ikeda. We'll play that right now on the air. Modest Yahoo, thank you so much, man. We really appreciate your time this early in the morning.
Yeah, I'm glad I woke back up and saw the
We are too.
Thanks, man.
We'll see you soon at the show. Bye.